Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, a veteran of the Nevada legislature, State Senator Pete Goicoechea, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City. It is a delight to welcome back to the program State Senator Pete Goicoechea of District 19. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam, and it's, as always, it's good to be here. It's great to be here in Carson City, and this renovated, the Bank Saloon is really different. It was a long time since it was actually open as Jack's, and did spend a few times in here in my early days of my career.
I think if ghosts could talk, they would tell a lot of stories. Yes. In this building. Your district is pretty much the eastern half of Nevada, with the exception of Clark County down to Laughlin, correct?
Right. It's right down Highway 93. You start at Jackpot and you end up at Prim, and it's 504 miles. If you drive hard, don't stop too often for gas, you can make it in 9 hours.
So with redistricting, if they wanted to give you more, what would they give you, a chunk of Utah?
Well, I don't know. With redistricting, no. Clearly, Senate District 19, as we looked at the numbers, especially with the growth on the western side of Clark County, originally I started out with very few constituents in Clark County, and that number's got to 35, 40,000 people. So it's, I would imagine if a piece of it actually does come off, I don't know, we'll probably lose a little piece of Clark trying to balance the numbers, because presently Senate District 19 is one of the larger Senate districts population-wise as well.
Yeah, no, and it's just stunningly huge. Let's talk about the governor. Over the years, we've seen the governor in the building during the session, lobbying for his bills beyond just the staff. How much have you seen of Governor Sisolak in the building this session?
Well, I hate to say it, Sam, and of course, this is my 10th session, and I go back to, Gwynn and Gibbons and Sandoval, and of course, we were Republicans, but, I have to say, the last time I saw Governor Sisolak was Neely a year ago last January. That's the last time I've seen him anywhere. And so, given I got a rural district, he doesn't come into it a lot, but hasn't been in the building, and it's clearly leaving a void. When I reach out to his legal counsel, Scott Gillis, because we've got an old relationship that goes back, and I reach out to Scott and try and get some questions answered, or at least get some direction from the governor's office. It is really causing a hardship in the legislative building, and again, I don't know, maybe on the other side of the aisle, maybe they have a little more accessibility, but I don't know how they could. He's not in the building, and I don't think a lot of times he's not even up here in Carson. So,
do you have an interaction at all with the chief of staff?
No. Well, Michelle, I've met her a couple of times. I really don't know her. Like I say, again, I typically go to Scott Gillis because I've got a relationship with him. I know when we did have the meeting in Ely a year ago last January, I'd asked the governor who I should contact, and he said reach out to Scott. And of course, we were talking about the Ely prison and maybe the possibility of that transitioning away from a max and the maximum going south to High Desert and then Ely, because we do have those staffing issues, it would become a medium security prison. So we had a meeting in Ely a year ago last January, and he said to reach out to Scott, and so that's what I've been doing.
You know, we don't hear that much about Ely. You know, Elko at least is on the map because of mining. Both Elko and Ely, most of their television coverage comes from Salt Lake City,
right,
rather than Las Vegas or Reno. Tell us about Ely. What is the state of Ely these days?
Well, Ely actually is doing fairly well, solid. They've got a couple of good gold mining projects, Kinross Gold at Bald Mountain, and the new Pan project there in western White Pine County is they've actually got some people working there, and Kinross is helping them, and of course we've got the old Kennecott properties right there in Ely. They are very concerned though, especially the project in Ely that is marginal, it's base minerals, it's not gold, and what this new tax structure, if there's one that comes forward, what it could look like. That is a foreign held company, a Polish company, and they're already saying if there's a tax hike, they'll shut the doors. And Ely's been there before, and that's not good.
Yeah, to say the least. And that seems to be the concern across the state is, because, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems that the way mining works in Nevada is the small companies work the claims initially, they put up the initial investment, and then larger companies come in and buy up those companies once there's something that's proven. So we could potentially lose a lot of these startup mines.
Well, yes, the exploration companies will clearly be hit because it's going to take, again, if you're looking at that kind of a tax burden, you know, the capital investment up front is huge, and those companies aren't going to put it in place. The small juniors, they don't have it, won't be able to access it. You know, and right now with this, when we hit that $2,000 gold, it was approaching $2,000 gold, there was a lot of activity in rural Nevada. But this threat of maybe a new tax structure has definitely cooled it off.
Lithium mining.
Yes.
It seems that we are ground zero for lithium mining. There are several companies that are getting things going as far as lithium goes, from Fernley down to Silver Peak. What are your thoughts on the potential for lithium mining in the state when you have such attacks from the environmental groups, for example, on Team's buckwheat?
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, and again, there's two processes. The one that's in Thacker Pass in northern Humboldt County, that's a different process than what we have down at Silver Peak, and where it's actually pump the water and evaporate that lithium out in those evaporation basins. Now, the Thacker Pass is a completely dry concentration cycle. Not dry, it takes a lot of water, but it is an evaporation like we see at Silver Peak. I don't know how that process, they say it'll work, and we'll have to see when it gets on the ground. That will be a huge, huge project in Humboldt County. And of course, the real concern there is the amount of water they're acquiring and the amount of water it will use for that project. They've already went in and bought some of those properties and do have significant water resources available. You know, I think for the most part, and I have to say, you know, at Silver Peak, familiar with that from way, way back when it was Foot Minerals. So a lot of people out of Eureka actually worked there. So, you know, and commuted because it was slow in Eureka at that time. So, yeah, very familiar with Silver Peak and that process. Hey, we're going to need the lithium. And if we're going to go electronic and we're going to build batteries, we better find it someplace. If we end up importing it, it will be truly expensive. So I think it's an industry that's very viable. We can work around the environmental concerns. Clearly, I think it's it can be done.
Does it make a difference that the Department of Defense is saying that lithium is a necessary mineral, you know, for national security?
Yes, and those will all help. And again, whether it's we've got a vanadium project that's trying to kick off there south of Eureka, and again, that's key. If they do designate them strategic metals or minerals, it makes a tremendous difference in those companies, in the security, the pure security, and that allows for that capital to be invested into them. It's huge.
Natural resources, water basin transfers, water law at this session. These are big issues.
Yes, water, coming into the session, I didn't think it was going to be quite as, I thought it'd maybe be a little more of a ho-hum session compared to the last one. There were, you know, like 13 bills the last session, and it seemed like it took us forever, and we never got any of them out, really, which is sometimes good when it comes to Nevada water law. This session, there are some bills that are truly scary.
In what way?
Well, I think we're trending towards a change in, you know, a gradual, complete change in Nevada's old water law. And it's really concerning to me is we're trying to move away from priority right, the old, you know, first in time, first in right, which is the basis for Nevada's water law, which makes it one of the best. You know, as we look at some of these scenarios, even the water conservation, the water banking, there's going to be the ability to go in there and take a haircut, dedicate part of that water to, i.e., the state or a bank, and then the remainder you would be able to hold it in perpetuity with no beneficial use. And so it's going to allow for the capitalization of water, and that's truly a mistake. The water in the state belongs to the people of the state, and if you end up creating laws and putting it in a position where it can actually be held forever by an entity, you're going to see the price of water skyrocket.
And you're seeing, for example, up on the Humboldt River, a private company that wants to bank flood water and be able to utilize that for sale.
Right. Well, and that's water assets in the old Winnemucca Farms right in the Humboldt. And everybody's got an eye and an ear cast towards that because, again, you know, it's been 3, maybe 4 years ago, they actually separated the water and the land, and you know, water assets holds the water, and Winnemucca Farms holds the land, even though they're held together in one title. And I think that is the intent, again, with water conservation, water banking, these new water laws, would be to create that separation where it could legally happen. And I don't think there's any doubt that water in the Humboldt Basin that's held by water assets is intended to be exported out of the Humboldt. Clearly can't happen. The Humboldt's completely over-appropriated. The groundwater resources along those edges, you know, we're looking at conjunctive management on the Humboldt. There has to be something happening. Somebody's gonna have to come up with the legislation that says, hey, you know, until these basins are in balance, you can't export from them. And to bring the Humboldt into balance could never happen, not in 100 years.
Well, that may be true, but you know, they said that about the Walker River.
Yeah.
And they managed for the federal government to buy enough water to actually make that work.
Oh, yes.
And because for a long time, didn't matter how wet the year was, Walker Lake never got any water.
Right.
Because it was all over, you know, allotted. But eventually Senator Reid actually worked on that and got
right.
that done.
And again, the same thing could happen. Don't get me wrong, in the Humboldt, given enough money,
right,
anything can happen.
And that's the bottom line there. A couple of other quick things on water. Southern Nevada Water Authority still owns the ranches in eastern Nevada, but has publicly said that they're not going to move forward with moving that water to southern Nevada. Do you think that that's a lifetime commitment or just a temporary commitment?
Well, Sam, you have to be honest about it. Southern Nevada is going to need some water from someplace. And they do have those ranches and those water, they do own water in Spring, Snake, in those valleys. They bought those ranches, clearly they own the water rights with them. They are continuing to use them and put them to beneficial use. My biggest concern, and I think it's everyone's concern, is we started moving with these super basins in Southern Nevada and the White River flow and that hydrologic connection between basins. Maybe they don't need a pipeline. Then you can say, well, this basin is technically hydrologically connected to the basin farther north, And it is the same water. It's, especially when you get into the deep carbonate flows, it is the same water. And so therefore we can pump it out down in southern Nevada, and we're really only pumping the water that's is ours in northern Nevada.
All right, so hang on.
I know this is a wild scenario.
Well, it's an interesting scenario. So what you're saying is that there are basins that are interconnected from eastern Nevada all the way down to southern Nevada, and that you could make that water, or the water already flows from one basin to the other, and it could be pumped directly from southern Nevada, but the water would originate in...
Well, that's already what's happening, especially when we get into the White River flows and that deep groundwater in the Virgin and the White River flow system. It's actually deep carbonate, but they know that water is flowing from northern Nevada down through the eastern side and ultimately ends up on actually hitting the Colorado River. Those flows are there into the Virgin. So it's, but again, that's the deep carbonate aquifer.
Right, and for those that may not understand, this is a deep aquifer that is geologic water from millions of years ago.
It's old water. Yes.
And this was covered years ago by Range Magazine. This vast underground lake.
It's not near as vast as we proved. It's not near as big as they thought with the mine dewatering in northern Nevada, as they dewatered those developments. Clearly, they were able to pull that deep carbonate down, and significantly, that's how they mined it.
All right, let's take a break. Boy, you're breaking some news here. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Pete Goicoechea of District 19. He's on several committees here, Finance, Government Affairs, and Natural Resources. We're going to stick with Natural Resources for a minute. The innovation zones that have been proposed. We don't have a bill yet as we are taping this, but Blockchains LLC has bought some, but not all, of the water that they would need for their smart city in Gerlach, and would like to be able to move that to Story County. From the people I've talked to, it sounds like it's a 20-year process to be able to move that water 100 miles across Native American land. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's very interesting, and I think they have about 7,000 acre-feet of water there. By the time they take the haircut on that back to and establish the consumptive use on it, there won't be half of that water available. Clearly, it is also some recharge to the Pyramid Lake and Emilio Flats there. So bottom line is, I think that's going to be a really difficult project to build and get any real amount of water out of it. I mean, you're not going to need much of a pipe to move what little, the 1,000 acre feet of water or 1,500 they actually end up owning in this. They're going to need significant more water to develop this.
And where would they get that water?
Well, I think everyone's concern is that they will move farther east and actually be looking at some of those water, that, those waters held in Humboldt County water assets and some of those.
Okay, so that would be the floodplain water from the Humboldt River.
Well, and that Humboldt, that floodplain, what they're calling that floodplain, is only the recharge depletion of the groundwater there that's occurring in on the edge of the Humboldt. And again, I don't know how you can call that as, and that's been the argument, whether that floodplain was additional water or that's just the normal natural recharge. They were going to pull it out of the river, pump it back, recharge those aquifers. But again, yes, this water at some point would be for sale. They make no bones about it. It's intended to go someplace.
You know, we've used flood irrigation in Nevada forever.
Yeah.
The Humboldt Sink. All the people in Lovelock, who are ranchers there, have used that. Is there some point where we need to build reservoirs to be able to capture this water? Because, I mean, that's the discussion in L.A., is that all that flood water in the L.A. basin goes out to the ocean when it's needed.
Right. Well, and that's the thing in Nevada, though. We technically don't have any rivers that flow out of the state, so which is huge. No, that's been the argument, even when they put the South Fork Dam in Elko, the need for the Devil's Gate on the North Fork. Do we need more storage? Clearly, I think it would have been wise to have done that 20, 30 years ago, more storage on the Humboldt. But in today's world, it's hard to build dams. Environmentalists really, truly don't like them. So I don't see where, we talk about the water that goes into Humboldt sinks. Given Rye Patch and the last few years we've gone through, it's lucky when it gets full. And, I represented, when I was in the assembly for 10 years, I represented Pershing County, east and west on the Humboldt. So very familiar with the Humboldt. I don't think we're losing that kind of water. Those wet years we get when we actually send water into the sinks is technically recharging the whole system.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with State Senator Pete Goicoechea after this timeout.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your furnace breaks down today, we fix it today. Why freeze for days while your furnace is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get warm again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 and we'll fix it today. That's 323-5585 or online at NevadaHeating.com.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Pete Goicoechea of District 19, which, if you look on the legislative map, is pretty much 99% of the eastern half of Nevada. So let's talk about finance. According to your colleague, Scott Hammond, he says that Nevada's already gotten about $18 billion from the federal government, and now there's going to be billions more coming into the state. What are your thoughts on what we should be doing with this excess money that's coming in?
Well, the last American Relief Act money is going to be about $2.9 billion to the state directly. Like you say, we've received $17-18 billion already, but the bottom line, you have to understand, most of that went out in unemployment and pets benefits, and it looks like if we don't get back to work pretty quick, we're going to need some more. There's no doubt about it. But with the 2.9 that comes to the state in the Relief Act, I think it's going to be more than enough to balance a budget, all depending on the guidelines. We won't have the guidelines until someplace into the summer, maybe into the fall. And again, I think the key question there, are we going to be able to use it all this biennium, or is there there's some talk that they are going to require that you spend it over a couple of cycles, and local government as well. So there's going to be some holes to fill. $1 billion will definitely fill our budget and make us whole.
Okay, so basically, before this legislative session ends, you've got to balance the budget. So there may be cuts that are coming, but that will later be backfilled. How many special sessions do you think we're going to have?
Well, I think two's a given. One to balance the budget. If we get the guidelines, if we don't have the guidelines in place until October, then I'm going to say three special sessions, because we're still going to have to deal with reapportionment, redistricting.
It's going to be a long year in Carson City.
Yes, I'm not looking forward to it. One thing about it, it looks like it's going to be a dry summer out there in the rurals and on the ranches. So it's going to be an ugly session, ugly year for out in the rurals. And maybe it's a good time to be in Carson, but everybody gets nervous when we're in session. We know that.
Isn't that the truth?
Yep.
Pete Gokachia, always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please come back.
Oh, I will, Sam. Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
We'll see you on the next broadcast, coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City. See you then.